Radio Newark, the home of Radio Newark Sport. Weeknights from 7. Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
What's the only show that showcases Newark's young sporting talent? It's the show where you are the stars. You've guessed it. On tonight's show, we proudly boast that we are the home of primary school sports. And tonight we kick off the new school year by finding out what's on the agenda for our young stars. And of course, that only means one thing. Amy Fell's back at Sport Towers. It's Tuesday and that means Amber Owens joins us with all the Newark Athletic Club news. This week she remembers her young sporting days and tells us how her dad got on at the Lincoln Half Marathon. And by way of a change, Susie Chambers is going to join us. She sang the national anthem solo at the recent World Karting Championships and described it as the most nerve-wracking moment of her career. We'd like to talk to Susie. She joins us later. I'm Mick Bradley. He's Tony Smith. And this is Radio Newark Sport. Mr. Smith, it's not Senior Cup first round week, as we spoke last night to Craig. I like the not Senior Cup. And South will start off the matches tonight. They go to Gedling Miners Welfare. And tomorrow night, Collingham travel to Hucknall Town.
Gooden.
Newark Town, Flowserve and Ollerton all must wait until the weekend before they start. One story, though, Tony, that really sort of caught my eye and made me somewhat chuckle. Real Madrid forward Gareth Bale has been ruled out of the Wales critical World Cup qualifiers against Georgia and the Republic of Ireland with a calf strain. Real manager Zinedine Zidane has played down concerns about Bale's fitness, saying he rested him for Sunday as a precaution, but when he joined the Welsh squad on Monday, despite sitting out training when he hoped he was going to be fit, he's been ruled out of both matches. The 28-year-old injury, just that's it. He's not going to recover from in time. Barnsley striker Tom Bradshaw has been called up into the Wales squad in his place. Nothing against Barnsley striker Tom Bradshaw, but if you're called up to replace Gareth Bale, no pressure.
I think Barnsley striker is an ideal replacement for a Real Madrid player, isn't it?
But you've got to remember, Tony, Wales are not a one-man team.
Not now.
I'm sure I read that somewhere.
Not now, they're not, because he's not playing.
Oh, dear. So
it's left to the other idiots now.
The best of luck to Tom Bradshaw.
Unforgettable, that name.
Unforgettable, another arsehole name. I'm sure Wales will do as well as Scotland.
Hey.
Hey, that took a long time. Let's find out what's happening in our world of sport. A tough start for Finlay Cranage in the 8-year-old Experts BMX at Nottingham. He missed out on the A final, but managed 6 in the B final. Last week's sports show guest, Lottie Listerman, won the Nottinghamshire and Derbyshire Cyclocross on Saturday, beating her nemesis. Remember, she told us she'd never beaten this Libby Gill. She has now, for the first time. And then she beat her again by winning the Leicester League 24 hours later. Big Sister Flo also raced on Sunday and came in second in the under-14 girls. And remember, she told us she was 11 years old. Big future for them too. And it was local derby time for Jags 2 with a home match against Sheffield Steelers. A really tough game against a very tall team. Excellent play, but in the end, Jags went down 58 points to 41.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
Just going back to the international football scene. I watched.
You're not going to try and justify Scotland being in the World Cup, are you?
I watched Celtic versus Hibernian at the weekend. And the way that John McGinn of Hibs and Callum McGregor of Celtic played, absolutely every hope for Scotland. Because they were superb. Two top players. Stuart Armstrong is out of Celtic. Scott Brown is out. But Scott Brown is a thug, so that's no great loss. But John McGinn looks top class in any standard of football.
As many of you will know now that since Tony retired as sports editor of the Newark Advertiser, he now delivers drugs and painkillers round town for the people that need them on behalf of a well-known pharmacy.
You're not allowed to take any yourself.
Tony, you've been taking them again. Scotland will not qualify for the World Cup until they make it the top 120.
I think we should have a pint on this. I'm very confident against Slovakia and Slovenia.
So you're telling me Scotland are going to qualify for Russia?
Yeah.
Right, and the bet is a pint?
Yeah.
I don't drink, but I'll drink a pint if Scotland get there.
No.
Bet's on. One pint. Amy, the bet is on. One pint. You owe me one pint of beer if Scotland get there. Or don't get there. Whichever way you look at it.
It's a Yorkshire bet. If you win, it's a half.
Yeah, I know. It's a Yorkshire bet, so you won't pay up. Right. We tell the world that we are the champions of primary school sport. Because we take a great interest in primary school sport. Mm. Because we think, and we know, it's where the youngsters start their sporting career. So this winter, or this school year, we've convinced Amy to come in once a month, every month.
Once a month?
Yes. And talk to us about...
Can we afford it?
Yeah, you're on your way out. to talk about primary school sports, and she's going to bring some of the youngsters in with us as the years get going, about what they're up to and what they're doing, and we're going to meet some of the stars, because we met some of the stars last year, didn't we? Mm. My goalkeeper, Harley. Absolutely wonderful. I met it with Joseph Monk again the other day at the Athletics. You know, these are primary school sports, youngsters, and they're going places. We'll talk about those in a few minutes, but first of all, a very well welcome back for a new season to Amy Fell.
Thank you.
This is a young lady that was never going to come in these studios and hated every minute of it, and she's now on her 13th, 14th visit.
You don't have any choice, do I?
Not really, no, you don't.
Is this gun loaded?
Yes. First of all, let's have the good news about Amy Fell, because we keep going on about the children being the stars of primary school sports, but Miss Fell's got something to tell us.
Last week I had an email from a couple of ladies who are part of the Knott Netball County Development Programme. Asking me if I'd want to take up the assistant coach role on the 20-week programme, developing year 6-7 children into potentially having trials for county. Three of my girls I'd found out the week before from last year, who are now year 7s, had actually managed to secure a place on this 20-week programme. I'm a little bit... I surprised myself. Normally I try and talk myself out of things like this, but I thought, well, I've been approached, I've been asked, I must be doing something that's been recognised. So I'm starting there tomorrow to see how things go and just something extra.
So what's this, a trip over to Nottingham after school then?
Yeah, into West Bridgeford at the Emmanuel School, where the county sessions always are. We'll see what it's like.
On the back of that though, Amy, it must be, you almost be so proud, because this is another recognition for what is happening in Newark, isn't it?
Yeah.
If we didn't keep producing teams at these county finals, our girls wouldn't be noticed and you wouldn't be noticed.
Yeah. And that's one of the things they said, that the last 3-4 years they've seen Tutor Reid and me at the county and the regional finals, and they've seen what I promote with my team in netball and sport, and they want a primary school's perspective to help on that coaching program. So
well done, girl. That's good, isn't it? Yes, that's excellent news. So we start off on excellent news. And your girls, that's no longer with you because they've moved on to the bigger school, so to speak. But they obviously keep in touch because you've picked up on it.
Yeah, I found out a couple of weeks ago that three of my, now year seven girls have got a place on this Knots programme. So I'll be helping continue to coach them. And I found out the week before that three girls from my previous netball team, who are now year eight children, have all got a place on the under 13 county squad for netball. So it just shows that at primary school we can start children off with sport, and then it can set them on that path for doing more.
And she wonders why they wanted to go and coach at Canterbury. <that one. laughs> dear. And that's the whole thing, because we're going to have a bit of a serious night tonight.
Shall I go?
Yeah. how important primary schools is. We Tony and I both think it is so important, because at one stage a few years ago, it looked like sport and primary schools was going to take a different path completely, and there wasn't going to be any sport at primary schools. And it is so important to get the youngsters on the way. So I want to just talk about that now. After half past seven, we'll talk about what's on the calendar, but I just want to do the overall view of it now. And Newark Primary School Sports, I've got a cracking reputation. How important is sport to primary schools?
It's so important. It helps, I think we've said before, it helps if you have your senior management team and your head teachers who are supportive of all the sports that you do. But it's become more important in the last 5-6 years with the heightened awareness of mental health, of general health and exercise and looking after your body. And you find children who excel in the non-academic sport subjects, and they find something that they can cling to and have that positive attitude towards. And it's just very important for the whole rounded view of the child. And I think that's why the government this year, we found out in the summer, we found out that the government have doubled sports premium money for school. And then I think the sugar tax will be coming in this at some point this year. So they are putting a lot of money into schools to promote sports, to promote well-being, healthy lifestyles, everything, because it sets the children for their future, and keeping themselves healthy and their minds healthy as well.
The situation when I was at school, and before you say anything, but we all go, I mean, we're going back to the Dave Smith days now.
Yeah.
Okay. When I won't hear a bad word against Dave Smith, but the point
me
is,
neither.
In those days, if you was good at a sport, you stood hell of a chance of getting somewhere because you had cracking PE, PT teachers. If you was, and I want to be careful here, if you was no good at sport, you were slightly overweight, or you couldn't join in with the others like some children can, you was still in those days, and I'm talking about the 70s, almost bypassed. You lot go and sit in that classroom there and read a comic while this lot go out and win a football trophy.
Yeah.
Please tell me that's not the case.
No, it's for inclusion. A lot more things we've heard this year that the school games are still focusing on the competitive nature, but they are going to have an inclusive nature as well, where anybody can take part. And in schools, we obviously, you have to offer 2 hours of PE sessions taught within your curriculum time. And personally at Tutor Reid, we promote older children leading the younger children, getting everybody involved, just the enjoyment, having fun. you obviously do have your clubs that, again, are inclusive to everybody, but then you can filter out the children you want for your teams because there is still that competitive nature, but everyone is allowed, everyone has the opportunity to take part in the clubs and everyone accesses the PE lessons.
Did you want
to? No, I was just going to say that, I mean, before, as you say, I was at school in the 70s and it was all based around the team winning and then the ones that weren't good enough to get into the team. I mean, that's how I learned to smoke. You know, because you get sent off behind the back sheds and then the first 11 get on with it.
Don't promote that anymore.
It was Yorkshire.
I won't say it was actually promoted, it was just what it led to. But I mean, it's just like sort of, you know, it was all about excellence. And the ones that weren't good enough, like me, you know, were just sort of discarded. And you just went off with your mates and climbed trees or something.
And that's got to be the biggest change, hasn't it, Amy? That really, because now you're... Yes, there is a competitive nature. I mean, I've been to the netball finals, I've been to the football finals. Of course, there's a competitive nature. But it's got to be more about those elite half a dozen, hasn't it?
In that aspect of it, it has. Because, again, you get all the pressure. In a competition, you get all the pressure that's added on to you, whether it's intentional or not. You get the pressure that the children put on themselves from other teams, sometimes parents, sometimes coaches, and you need to have the children who can cope with that as well as having the skill for the sport. But sometimes children surprise you. Maybe somebody you've never noticed before within the PE lessons, they suddenly start coming to a club and then you start realising actually that they're taking it on board, they're developing their skills and they could come from nowhere. And I think that's in primary schools. What we can do is notice those potentials and try and channel them into something better.
Impossible question for you to answer, but what gives you the most pleasure? Seeing Tutree win a netball final or seeing Fred sort of take on a sport where you thought, no way, I've achieved something here. I've got him involved. He's involved with the group. He's coming from on his own and he's now involved in the group.
I suppose both in different ways have different elements that you'd be proud of. Me personally, mine is the team that I coach. But then equally you look at it from a teacher's perspective and you're teaching your whole class of various abilities, and you notice those little changes, you notice the confidence boost that the children have, being happy, being smiley, wanting to have fun, wanting to take part, whereas they may not in other situations. So it gives children that release time to
do that.
It
brings them into the group, doesn't it?
It does.
That's right. Right, Amber's up next. And to the phones, and it's Tuesday at 7:20, so that can mean only one thing, the wonderful Amber Owens. Amber, good evening.
Good evening.
These nights are getting darker and they're getting colder, but you're still out there.
I know, it's cold.
It's cold. You have to jog up and down a bit then while we're doing this.
I know.
Amber's athletes, as we call them, and it's a bit of a roundup of what's happening at Newark Athletic Club, plus a little bit more. Let's start, Amber, with Chloe Hubbard, who I'm led to believe competed in the Barcelona Iron Girl race.
Yeah, she did really, really well. She did it this morning and she came second, so that's really, really good.
Have you ever fancied that one?
Maybe one day. I've never been to Barcelona, so...
Well, that's what it is. It's not the fact you're going to do an Iron Girl. It's the prospect of going to Barcelona, is it?
Well, I've never been to Barcelona and I've never done an Iron Girl, so...
You'll probably get the Iron Girl when it's at Barnsley or somewhere.
Yeah, it's a lot nicer in Barcelona.
Do you know what she had to do?
Not 100% sure.
No, I'm not sure of it, but, you know, to come second was a fantastic achievement.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
And talking of fantastic achievements, you all went to Lincoln on Sunday morning to watch some of the Newark Athletic Club members do the Lincoln Half Marathon, and I would think you was particularly proud of a certain dad.
Yeah, my dad did really well. I mean, he came 95th, and he got a new PB, because obviously he did the Newark half, And I think he did, I think it was 1:36 or something he did in the Newark half. And then in this, and then in the Lincoln, which is obviously same distance, except it's up a hill, so it's slightly harder, and he got 1:34, so he was really happy.
Excellent.
And was you there to cheer him on, the family?
Yeah. There was also...
you see, you didn't go and cheer the twins on the week before, did you? You had this sleepover, but this week you went. You thought you'd better go and cheer Dad on.
Yeah.
You see, don't bite the hand that feeds you. Exactly.
No, I was going to say that Craig also did really well. I mean, he was the best in Newark because he got a PB in the park run in the morning. I think he did it on the morning, on Saturday.
On Saturday, yeah.
And then he got 26 in the half marathon, and I think he got a time of 1:25.
Brilliant. And it's lovely, of course, to see Craig out running again after what's happened, isn't it? That's fantastic.
Yeah, I know, but 1:25 is so fast.
You?
I mean, he's ever so fast.
It's spot on. Anybody else there from Newark?
Andrew Crawford also ran, you know, because obviously his son's Max, and Max is really good. And he came literally, he was literally about 40 metres in front of Dad, so he was 94.
Dad was after him, was he? Sprint finish.
And he got he also got 1:34, but I think it was like 5 seconds in it.
You must be old enough to start doing half marathons now, are you?
I mean, I think a couple of people my age did it, but I think you're meant to be 18, so I'll probably do one next year. But I don't think Stuart would want me to do one, so I don't know if I'm going to do one yet.
No, I think you probably need...
It's quite a long way.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I'd like to do one at some point.
And especially in the middle, because at the moment, as a training plan, you're gearing yourself up, aren't you, for what you've got to come in the next few weeks?
Yeah, because we've got the North Mids, not this weekend, but the weekend after, the cross country. That's my first cross country.
And that's what we're really sort of, so an half marathon now would not be what the doctor ordered at all.
No.
We're talking primary school sports tonight, Amber, and we're very sort of proactive on that, and we think it's where everybody starts. Primary school where you got the running bug?
Yeah, I mean, I started when I was 10, so I was year 5. So I was like, I don't know, towards the end of primary school, but yeah. I mean, I was always like, because there was always those things to get involved in, because obviously it's like improving grassroots and everything. But I mean, I think I first got involved in about year 4 or something, because they had like sports days and like inter sport days where you went out of school and did sport, and it was always a lot of fun.
How important is it that the youngsters, I mean, at the moment, I mean, the name that springs to mind more than anybody is Joseph Monk, of course. He's at one of our primary schools here, and we've got him sort of down as one of the sort of next in the line of Newark superstars.
Yeah, well, it is really important, like, to start young, because obviously once you get to a certain age, I mean, once you get to about 14 and 15, you can still run, but obviously, like, the younger you start, the better you're going to be, because you're going to have got the training in. And I think it's important to, you know, get it across when they're younger, because it starts the participation, and then obviously if they're in a club, then they like move through it. Whereas it's going to be harder if they're about 14 or 15 to join straight into a club.
So there's definitely a role there for primary schools when it comes to sport.
Yeah, because, you know, most people get involved when they're young and start young so that they can kind of progress through in a sport.
And build it
from... It's like gymnastics. You can't do it when you're like... Well, you could do it when you were 15 or 16, but you're better doing it when you're younger, when you start young.
Excellent. Is there anything else that I forgot or you've got to tell me?
I don't think so.
It was a quietish week, wasn't it, Athletics Week this week? There's plenty of big weeks to come, but this week was a quietish week. So we've got to have Dad down as the star of the week this week then, haven't we?
Yeah, or Craig, because he did really well in his park run and his half marathon.
So you're not going to give it to Dad, you're going to give it to Craig.
I'll give it to Dad too. We'll have a joint one.
Good stuff. Amber, you go off and get warm.
Thanks.
Do some training. We'll talk to you again next week as we build up for that North Midlands cross country.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much, Amber.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Amber Owens there joins us every Tuesday night at 7:20. And of course, Amy, Amber was there. You were sort of listening in. Amber was saying that, I mean, Amber's sort of 17 going on 18, and she recognises the importance the importance of what we're talking about tonight. I'm going to talk a lot more about that in a few minutes. But next, let's have a look at the national headlines.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs.
And British tennis player Dan Evans has been banned for 1 year after testing positive for cocaine earlier this season. It's been backdated, so he'll be free to play again on the 24th of April. That's a funny year, Tony, but there you go. It means he misses January's opening Grand Slam of the year, the Australian Open, but plenty of time to qualify for Wimbledon in July. We've told you about Wales having no Gareth Bale for their World Cup qualifiers, and the Republic of Ireland are just a point behind them in their battle for that potential playoff place. Roy Keane thinks that it's not even a competition and the Republic are going to do it. Aaron Hughes will miss Northern Ireland's World Cup qualifier against Germany on Thursday because of a calf injury. The Hearts defender has been replaced by Dunfermline's Callum Morris, who's yet to make his debut. Hughes is the country's most capped outfield player, making 108 appearances in the last 19 years. Chelsea striker Alvaro Morata will miss around 6 weeks with his injury that forced him off in the defeat against Manchester City on Saturday. The Spanish striker's out of his country's upcoming World Cup qualifiers. Is anybody going to play in these World Cup qualifiers?
Scotland.
Oh, dear. And on that note...
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
You're listening to Radio Newark Sport with me and him, yeah. And, of course, now it's time to go back to our special guest, the lovely Amy Fell. Right, Amy, next one on the My Little Agenda is tell me about what or who are the Newark Primary Schools Sports Association?
So the NDPSSA, the Newark and District Primary School Sports Association.
I very nearly got that right.
Is
that's catchy.
It basically consists of 18 primary schools across Newark, across the district, and we all meet together in the summer, plan all the dates in for the following academic year, and we do football, girls and boys, we do netball, we do the hockey, we do boccia, got athletics in there. This year we're looking at doing a cricket in the summer, so we're always adding slightly extra bits in, but we organise lots of leagues, lots of tournaments for the children to get involved in. We've said before, it's all voluntary, the teachers and the coaches in school.
And this is all after hours, isn't it? It's not during school time.
There's
the odd
competition, which are during the afternoons, but most are on Saturdays, or the league matches are all after school. So it is all voluntary from the teachers and the coaches. But we've got, in every school, we've got really dedicated staff members who are committed to the sports and developing that within the schools.
And there's somebody that should be committed.
We were talking about Dave Smith earlier, and I was under the impression that when the likes of Dave Smith gave their time voluntarily after school for the good of sport, that age sort of died away. But are you telling me it's back?
It is back.
Because that is the best news possible.
It's not always recognised, if I'm being honest, but it is back. And I think over the last couple of years, the Sports Association has developed greatly, so that we have got sports coaches and staff members in each school who are committed to taking children to these competitions, giving up their mornings on a weekend, or giving up their time after school where they could be marking, planning, doing other things.
Yeah. That is excellent news, because I honestly thought that for a time disappeared from school life.
No. It got all very political, didn't it, for a time, and, you know, government should kick the nev out of sport, full stop. Okay, so 18 schools.
18 schools now.
I mean, can the same be said of sort of Nottingham and Worksop and Grantham and places like that? I know Newark is particularly good.
We've been approached in the summer, both Dave and I, from 3, 4, 5 different schools, some schools in Ollerton, some schools out Farnsfield way, saying, can they join our association? Can they take part in these competitions? And as much as we want them to, and we like, obviously are flattered that people have heard of our association and what we do, it takes so much time to get fixtures played, or the competitions or the tournaments at the weekends played with your 18 teams, that if you add another 4, 5, 6 in the midst of all of that, you'd be there all day, or you'd have so many extra nights you had to do. So I know Dave's offered to try and help support some schools in different areas and sorting out their own little associations, or we've said if we need friendlies, we can invite them to play a few friendlies. But most areas in Nottinghamshire, I'm not aware of them doing many things like this, like we do.
You see, again, with the flagship, we're doing it correctly, or we're doing it well. People should appreciate just how good it is. They really should. Let's start with netball, because if I didn't start with netball, I'd be in trouble. So let's start with netball. You run a competition, which is a finals day. You have a league and you have a cup, and the cup is always on a Saturday morning. You always arrange it for when it's freezing cold, blowing a gale,
and
pouring down with rain. That's the only downside of the organisation of this thing. You've never ever have a warm netball finals day. But just what netball is played strongly in primary schools, and I want to talk about probably minority sports if I get time, but netball is strong in primary schools.
Yeah, it's slightly different to the netball that lots of people will be aware of when they were maybe at secondary school and primary school. Quite a few years ago, netball in primary school changed to high five. So you've only got 5 players on the court at one time. You play without the wing attack and the wing defence. You can still have 7 to 9 players in your squad, and they rotate round, so they have to get used to playing all the positions. The aim of that is that when they get to secondary school, they're aware of all the positions. You can then introduce the wing attack and wing defence, and the children are much more able to play in the different positions, or they found the position that they like in advance.
You see, I approve of that, and the reason I approve of that is that in my world, it's not all about winning. It's all about learning how to play the game and be part of a team. You can learn how to win when you get older. You've got to learn how to play the game before you can win a game.
Mm. Yeah. Develop the skills.
Yeah, you've got to do that. And that is what primary schools is all about.
Mm-hmm. So is that the same in youth rugby?
I don't think it is, to be honest. Mm. And clubs like Newark, as good a clubs as Newark are, they make sure everybody gets a game. If you join that rugby club and part of the squad, you get a game. I mean, I was there last year when they had a massive, massive Midlands final match. And I said, is that your strongest 15? No, but it's their turn.
Yeah.
End of. Okay, fair enough. But the way they do the netball, everybody, as you said, learns how to play in every single position. And everybody gets game time, don't you? You're not just going to go there to put a tracksuit on to watch your mates.
No.
You get game time. Brilliant. Carry on.
So with the association, we have 2 tournaments, one in the autumn, which is actually on the 4th of November this year. So it most likely will be...
The 4th of November.
Yeah. It most likely will be cold. there will be gales blowing across. Maybe we'll be lucky that there won't be a frost, but so that's then. And then
is that here?
Yes, it's here at Barmby Road. Yeah. And then we have the spring one, which is in March. I don't know the date off the top of my head.
There's a pattern forming, Mick, isn't there?
Yeah. Me getting cold.
And then because we've now got 18 schools, last year we trialled a large schools netball league and a small schools netball league to mirror what the football has done for quite a few years, just because we lost the site of the Lillian Stone where we used to play our netball league and as a central venue. So we tried something different. So the large schools play each other twice, the small schools play each other once, games are roughly equal. So we've now got other schools who maybe didn't always have a shot against some of the other larger schools in the league format. they're having chances with their own shield that they're playing for. So when we have our sports presentation in the summer, we're getting lots more schools there, lots more children who normally wouldn't get that chance as well.
And that's good as well, because, you know, by the sheer numbers, you know, you put Lovers Lane up against Barnby Road Academy, it's, you know, you've got probably 150 against 600. Yeah. It's the sheer numbers game, and that's good. That's another top marks for you. You're doing well tonight. So there's netball, and of course, you go on to play if the winners of the Newark tournaments and go on to represent Newark at county level.
Well, that,
and then it goes on.
It's slightly different. Our association netball competitions don't actually lead to those, but I'm part of the Together for Newark primary schools linking with the secondary schools. So we arrange a few different tournaments which then feed to the county finals or feed to the school games. So we kind of overlap them in some way, but there are the counties, well, there's the district finals, the county finals, and then the regional finals as well.
You wonder, Tony, how she finds the time to go to Disney World every year, don't you?
And Whitby.
And Whitby. Okay, so that's netball, and we are strong in netball. Mm-hmm. We always get teams through to the regional finals,
yes,
don't we? And we just
do
because we're that good. Do you find the girls and the boys? Because it's boys as well.
Yes, yeah, we have boys as well play.
Are they queuing up to play?
I think they are more. I mean, my club this year, we've only had a couple of practices, but I've got four or five boys this year, whereas some years I've had no boys. Last year I just had one boy. So there's more boys seeing the girls progress and do well that they're thinking, oh, maybe I might have a chance at that as well. And sometimes it's the boys who aren't always into football. They like something different, or they maybe like basketball, so they want to try netball out. So it is good.
So proud of that one boy last year. I mean, that takes some nerve, doesn't it?
Yeah,
that's what he wants to do, so he's gone and done it.
Mm.
That takes some nerve.
He's with me again this year.
Excellent. Can I have a name shout?
Harrison.
There you go, you see. Well done, Harrison. I think so proud of you. You're my new favourite tonight. Football.
Yep.
Oh, dear. Amy does netball because that's her sport, and she doesn't tend to get too on edge at netball. Take her to a football match. You see why her name's Fel. Take her to a football match, and she don't know where to stand. She don't know what to shout. She don't know where to be. She's jumping from one foot to the other. She was giving the goalkeeper advice, and he was looking at her and thinking, "Yes, I know, I'm going to do that in any case." But that was how it got us, didn't it, on that morning? So tell us a bit about the football.
So the football is very similar to the netball. We have the large schools and the small schools football league. And then we have an autumn tournament, which is a week on Saturday, 14th of October at Flowserv. And then we have the spring tournament, which is in March again. And we look for teams who, the large school and the small school that come highest ranked in the tournament, get put through to the county final after next week. So there's so many opportunities, and again there's normally quite 14 to 18 of the primary schools taking part in it. We've seen some girls the last few years taking part in the league teams and the actual tournament, but we do have a girls two girls football tournaments just specifically for girls that we run during school time, one in the autumn, one in the spring. And then we've decided this year, because the girls, we sadly had to cancel the spring tournament last year because of the weather. So we decided that the schools who wanted to take part could arrange league matches for the girls to do, just so they're getting that chance and opportunity as well. And there is a girls' county final that we can put through as well.
These guys can pluck a rainy day out of the dry summer, I tell you. They really can. That's fantastic. And when I went down to Flowserv two occasions last year, there was hundreds of people. Mm-hmm. There was kids all over the place, and there was hundreds of people. Richard Lane, does he still...
Richard Kalate.
Richard used to be a teacher at Muscombe, yeah. Then he's taken retirement. But for years and years... He sat there at his desk at home, And nobody even knows he does it, yeah. But...
Richard is a silent secretary fixture of the association. So he collates all the league results. We send everything to him after the matches and he compiles all the league results for us.
Which, again, you need people to do it, don't you?
Otherwise, it'd fall on me.
Well, I know Richard enjoys doing it. He really does. So netball and football, very strong. Hockey. Now, hockey in schools tended to go away, unless you got a 3G pitch there. Schools lost interest in hockey. And I think this had a knock-on effect. Like rugby has had a knock-on effect at Newark Rugby Club. Mm. It's had a knock-on effect at Newark Hockey Club because they stopped coming through. The production line that is primary schools ceased. But we have good news.
Yes. So I'm thinking it's probably about 7 years ago now. Tim Birch approached Linda Smith when she was working at the Grove at the time, and the sports meetings we had there to try and get into the primary schools to promote hockey and heighten the understanding of hockey and to try and get people to join Newark Hockey Club again. So he volunteered to schools to offer his services to teach and coach free of charge. And then gradually as the years went on, he increased a small fee towards that. And then he approached us at the association so that we could, he would run a league for us for hockey. And then because of the sad news in 2012 or 13 with Sam White and everything Sam did with hockey, we decided to, along with Tim, to put a Sam White Hockey Shield tournament together, which we do every April for the association. So hockey has really been raised in primary school sport again.
And that's another big plus, and leads me on, because I know at times Dean Sugden from the martial arts has been in schools. Do you actively want to work with our sports? So I know Newark Rugby Club have now gone back to into the Magnus and they've put their own guys in there and helping on. Do you actively want to work with sports clubs?
Yeah, you want to try and give children as many opportunities as they can to find out what they're good at, and if they've got a talent or a skill in something, you want to steer them in that direction. And sometimes you don't know unless you get certain clubs or coaches in, and it might interest somebody and they might take it on. Aside from that, every year primary schools and secondary schools can apply for the Sainsbury's School Games Mark. One of the criteria for that is your links with local clubs and local sports. So you have to list the number of clubs that you have links with. And we've just achieved gold for the second year running. So all of these things add into everything for the school, for the sport, for the children.
Does it annoy you at times that, I mean, we just had 40 minutes good factor here, haven't we? Does it annoy you sometimes that it doesn't get the promotion that it deserves?
It does.
That's a dig at you, by the way.
What a drugs dealer.
I mean, we've talked before, I come from a sporting family. Sport's always been a priority in our household, whether you're watching it on the telly, whether you're out watching one of your family members do it, whether you're doing it yourself. So to me personally, sport's always been high up. I know some people, it's not their cup of tea, but you've got to try and, with everything, how life's changing, with obesity crisis, sugar, food, nutrition, healthy bodies, healthy minds, with everything, you've got to try and promote it and push for everything to help everyone.
Well, I just wonder why you were looking at me when she said obesity.
Butcher, because this is where we've got to the one now, isn't it? I mean, we've done the sort of the netball and the football and the hockey where you've got to be an athlete, but now Boccia brings in everybody.
Yeah, Boccia is an inclusive sport, so it's very similar to bowls. You have to sit down, though, to do it. It was introduced for children who have maybe got a disability or an SEN need, but it's also for any child to take part in. Fully inclusive. Helen Ellison, when she was in her previous role, approached our sports association, and then she's continued it for us where she runs the Boccia League and the Boccia competitions, and again they feed into the school games at county in July, and it just gives children who may not be able to always physically move around on a court or a pitch, it gives them that chance to still experience that competitive nature and still have that achievement of doing something well.
And you do very well at it as well, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay, coming up now, Susie Chambers, and then we're going to finish off with a little bit more from Amy. A great friend of this show is Susie Chambers, and Susie comes in with her son Dan, and Dan, of course, is the basketball player that we all love so much on this station. But Susie, in her own right, he's also a fantastic singer with Swing Nouveau. And when I saw that a couple of weeks ago they was appearing at the World Karting Championships at Fulbeck, I thought, good on them, well done. And then I found out that Susie sang the national anthem. No accompaniment, no nothing. You stand in front of hundreds of carters and sing that. That struck me as one hell of an achievement, and I thought we should talk to Susie about it. So joining us from somewhere is Susie Chambers. Susie, good evening.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Welcome back to Radio Newark.
Thank you very much.
We talk all sports, and we like to know what our friends have been up to. And when I read about you doing the national anthem, I thought, I've got to talk to you about it. Susie, did you know Dills was going to ask you to do it? And how did you feel standing in front of hundreds of Carter sports people to do it?
Well, I did get the heads up that I was going to be singing it. We got booked with Swing Nouveau to play on both days this year. Last year we were invited to play at the same venue, but of course it wasn't the World Karting Championships there last year, because that was in Bahrain actually last year. And this year they booked us for the Saturday and the Sunday. And then I'd received an email from Claire Mills at Trent Valley Karting Club, who are our contacts, who is absolutely fantastic. She's a delight to link with. And Claire asked me in this email, she said, oh, we're really looking forward to you playing for us. Oh, and by the way, we were wondering whether you'd like to sing the national anthem at the driver's ceremony. And I was genuinely quite taken aback. I was just so, overwhelmed, really, to have been asked to do that, knowing what a high-profile event it is in the world of karting. And, of course, accepted straight away. And on the day, I mean, to actually stand there was, I can honestly say, it was one of my proudest moments ever. Friends, including Andrew in the band, will tell you, I don't generally get nervous at all performing, but I can honestly say I felt sick with nerves. I think the last time I remember feeling so nervous was getting up with the Magnus Swing Band to perform at the Magnus in Newark when I was about 14, and thinking, oh crikey, nobody really wants to listen to us in this assembly. So I had a similar feeling standing there, but it was just such an incredible experience, and I suppose once in a lifetime achievement, really.
It's fantastic. What did Daniel think to it?
Oh well, he's pretty cool about everything now.
He's reached that age, hasn't he? Oh Mum, what have you done now?
He certainly has. Yeah. No, I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, for my kids, you know, I mean, it's not really that big a deal, you know, because obviously they see me coming and going gigging all the time. It's kind of just completely normal to them, I guess. But yeah, I mean, who knows? Maybe sort of if somebody else asked him the question, he'd give a different response. But no, I mean, they obviously the impression I get is that they really like the fact that I, you know, make music, and obviously I always share the stories with them of where I've been. And of course, this was a really special one. They, of course, bless them, you know, they did have to put up with me singing that first verse of the national anthem to myself for about a month before, because of course I was absolutely, normally I'm not at all worried about forgetting the words for songs at all, because as Andrew will tell you, if I forget words, I just randomly make them up half the time. But with the national anthem, I thought, oh my gosh, crikey. You know, it just seems like the simplest thing to sing. How on earth could you forget the words to that? But I just got a feeling I was going to sing one word wrong, and that was going to be it, wrong for the whole verse. But thankfully, I kind of held my nerve.
You wouldn't. You would get it right. Just a quick heads up on Daniel and basketball.
Yeah, he's well. The season's just about to start again. He's just had a pre-season game with the Mansfield Giants because, of course, he plays for their under-14 squad. So they're a national league team. So they just had a pre-season game in Dronfield in Derbyshire last week, and I can't remember the exact score, but I know that Giants won that game. By quite a significant lead. I think it was about 25 points. And so I think they scored about 80 points, and 22 of those were Dan scoring. Yeah, and so he's also been invited, following the performance at the Let Me Play basketball camp, he's also been invited to train with the under-16s at Mansfield Giants. And, of course, he's 12. So that's obviously something that he's very, very happy about. And then, of course, you know, most importantly, you know, arguably, is the local teamwork. So he's still training with Tornadoes under-14s and under-16s as well. So he's not had a game with Tornadoes yet, but I know that the Tornado season is just about to kick
just
off.
Just about to get going. Susie, yeah. I need to ask you a favour. I'm going to ring you back when we're finished on air tonight, because I've got a big favour to ask you. People will have to wait to find out what that's all about.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
Is it the FA Cup final?
No, it's not the FA Cup final, no.
Don't ask me about football. unless you're running a comedy show.
I am with Tony, yes, you're right.
If you want a laugh at somebody who knows nothing about football...
I talked to Tony. Susie, fantastic. I'll talk to you in a few minutes again, but well done at fullback. That was one hell of an achievement. We're so proud
Thank
of you.
Thank you so much, Mick. Thank you.
Thanks, Susie. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye.
Bye. I know she's a professional singer, but to stand up on your own with no accompaniment to sing that... That takes some doing.
I think it's the no accompanying bit.
Yeah, that takes
scary.
A bit of doing. There's no hiding, is there?
No.
And it's the same with sport, though. I mean, you can't hide, can you? If you go out there, there's nowhere to... We've done Boccia. We've got about 2 minutes left. What else is on your list?
Well, we've got different things which aren't part of the association. So cross-country leagues are starting, which are not... competitions.
We started
that last year, so we're taking teams from both Fernwood and Balderton site, and I think another couple of schools in the area might be doing it as well. As part of the Together for Newark that I mentioned briefly earlier, there's been the tag rugby competition tonight, which Magnus hosted for us. I've not heard the results yet, but the top teams from that tonight will be taking part on Wednesday the 18th in the Newark and Sherwood
and
final.
That's the rugby comeback trail,
yes.
Isn't it, for the youngsters?
Newark
Rugby Club will be so pleased.
We're trying to heighten that a bit more. We've got lots of things. And then just carrying on with the leagues. And then in the spring, well, we've got Sports Hall Athletics coming up in November as well. So there's lots going on. It's busy.
And that's why you're going to come in the first Tuesday in every month, probably with the exception of December. We've got to just jiggle things around about because it's sports awards. But and tell us what's going off. Some of the results, because when you come in again, you'll have the results from the netball.
Yeah, and the football.
And the football. So, yeah. And hopefully you're going to bring one or two of the youngsters from whatever school in with you, and a couple of the teachers, and we'll have a chat to them as well, because, you know, we had some good stories last year, and there were some really nice youngsters coming here, weren't they, Tony, and just told us what they're doing. I mean, we fell in love with the goalkeeper, didn't we? He was.
We've got him again this year.
Absolutely, we just fell in love with him. I've never known anybody so laid back in my life. His teacher was having kittens, but he was just so laid back. So we're going to keep in touch, Amy.
We will.
We're going to even more of your time is going to be given up, and we do thank you for that. I enjoyed that, Tony. I think that was a fantastic
preview
of what we're going to do with the primary school sports. Tomorrow night, Paul Drury's coming in. Big-time Lincoln City fan, part-time squash player, to talk about 24-hour squash from for Moment House. Rob Allgill's joining us on the phone, so there's going to be a joke somewhere. I've got no doubt we're having a Rob joke. Last week's runner of the week, which was called into a meeting just before my phone call, we're going to try and contact him again. So we're in for another rip-roaring 1 hour tomorrow night if I can keep up. But now, singing the blues, Mr. Stuart Preston.